the cannon shot chords there that open Beethoven's Eroica Symphony. And what better way to launch this, the first in a series of podcasts to keep you connected to the world of St. David's Hall. My name is Jonathan James, and I'm a regular pre-concert speaker for the Hall, and I thought I'd share some insights on the Eroica Symphony that would have been performed by the Aurora Orchestra under their conductor, Nicholas Collin. I was particularly looking forward to this concert, I have to say, not just because of the Aurora Orchestra and how they do things differently and in such an exciting new way, but also because Nicky Benedetti was going to be there as well, playing Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto. But you'll be pleased that their voices aren't entirely absent from the Arts Active website. I was able to have a chat with the conductor, Nick Collin, and that interview is posted here on the website. And Nicky Benedetti sent in a lovely little video of her explaining her thoughts on Mendelssohn's Concerto. So please do check those out on the Arts Active site. In the interview with Nick Collin, we talked in particular about how the orchestra for the past 5 or 6 years have been memorising works in their entirety, and about how we then, as the audience, are part of this tightrope act, willing the orchestra on to the final bars, hoping that they will arrive safely home without having dropped a single note. Why, though, of all the symphonies, choose the Eroica Symphony as your next project? I mean, it's a massive, massive work, and it's so dense and contrapuntal, with all these independent lines being woven together. Nick Collin was quite relaxed about it in the interview. He said, you know, other artists like actors, opera singers have to learn the lines, so why shouldn't classical musicians do the same? But this is the equivalent of an actor having to memorise an entire Shakespearean monologue that goes on for almost an hour. And just to give you a bit of an insight into what the musicians were undertaking with this particular memorisation feat, I thought we could look at the finale to the work. This is where Beethoven apparently began his whole concept for the symphony. And it starts with this crash, as if somebody's burst through the doors and is carrying urgent news from the front line. Complete comical contrast, a piece of bathos, as plucked in the strings you have the barest of lines. It's the equivalent of somebody tiptoeing around the stage. And this combined with the brute rhythms, the pa-pa-pa, first loud then soft, just gives you a sense that this is just a tracing of what is to come. A series of suggestions that will be fulfilled as the work unfolds. And Beethoven here is embodying the heroism of the symphony's title. He is the hero creator. He is taking just a pencil sketch of a house and unfolding massive architectural plans for a grand mansion. I mean, just imagine what it would be like to memorise something like this. Thank you. It's like a massive crowd scene where everybody has their own very detailed choreography, and every angle and every word has to be absolutely correct. And it's not as if he just gives us one burst of fugue either. The whole movement is filled with such passages. As if that wasn't hard enough, later on he plays tricks on us by having ideas that are flipped upside down, or entries that come in against the beat so that the lines almost lurch into each other at times, overlapping each other, completing each other's sentences or arguing. Here we're hearing everybody having a voice, right? And it just makes me think that this symphony has been inspired by the French Revolution of 1789. Is this, then, the musical representation of democracy? When you listen to this, you're certainly aware of hearing detail in every instrument of the orchestra. And you get the sense that without that detail, without everybody having a say, it wouldn't be quite the same. And so if you're memorising the work as the Aurora Orchestra were, you really can't afford to either drop or fluff a line. It all matters. Just as the French Revolution was about an epic struggle and finding a new world order, so this symphony has been about the same, not least in this final movement. And the new order that Beethoven is striving for is filled with hope and triumph. I'm going to let the horns lead us into the final ecstatic shouts of joy now. And you can imagine, can't you, that had you memorised the entire work, what an amazing relief and ecstasy you must be feeling right now as you approach the finishing bars. So I hope this has you rushing off to listen to the whole work, if not for the first time, then again to re-explore it in all its depths. There's so much here to be found. Do join me for my next podcast, where I'll be looking at the programme that the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra would have played. And until then, happy listening!